Hey there, I'm Kevin Daisy.
And I'm Eric Olson.
You're listening to the Managing Partners Podcast, where we interview top lawyers about how they're growing their firms. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. I'm Kevin Daisy, and I'm your host. Always out there seeking great guests and good information to bring you and myself. I learn along with you. So today I got a good friend I've been chatting with, met him through a couple of other acquaintances, and I have Frank Regis on here today to share what he knows. So Frank, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kevin, for having me. Looking forward to chatting with you today, and honored that you've considered to have me. So really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. And so, Frank runs in some similar circles and with some other legal experts and folks that I've gotten to know. Actually, one's a client of mine that he's in a mastermind group with. And we just connected and chatted. And I just thought it was a good idea to have Frank on to share what he knows and what he sees and how he helps attorneys. And that's what he's going to be here on, talking today about more financial type of things. So, Frank, give us your background, your story. Your location, so everyone knows where you're at, and we'll dive into it from there.
All right, great. So currently I'm in Boca Raton, Florida. I was born and raised in Chicago. I grew up in the city, Cub fan, not White Sox. I'm a huge baseball and huge hockey fan, and I've been in South Florida for 30 years, actually 31 years, and I moved because of the weather, to be honest. The winter was just got to be too much, too cold, too much snow. But I go to Chicago often. My brother still lives up there. And I go probably 3-4 times a year. We'll catch a Cub game. We'll catch a Blackhawks game. It's still home to me. And I feel very comfortable when I go there. And who knows, maybe one of these days I'll be working there part-time and working down here part-time. I don't want to be labeled a snowbird, but I guess that could happen.
Well, I like one of the things you said a minute ago when we were talking behind the scenes. I was like, yeah, my allergies, so I might, clear my throat once in a while. And yeah. Frank said, his allergies went away, basically, as soon as he moved to Florida. And I was like, that's a really good reason to move there.
So. Yeah, that could be one. So, yeah, they definitely clear up. And I had no idea that's how it was going to be. But I've been in financial services now almost 33 years. I started in retail hardware, managing an Ace hardware store. Did that for like 10, 11 years and finally got tired of that grind and landed a position and, here I am.
There you are. So, one of the things that says there is you've been doing this a while, you're experienced. There's a lot of financial planners that I meet on my days around town that just started like a month ago. And they're like, hey, Kevin, let me be your financial planner. Nah, no thanks.
Yeah.
So, you got to get your start somewhere, but you've been doing this quite a while. So, it shares the experience and probably situations you've seen over the years.
Yeah, and it's hard to start. Whether it was, me 30 years ago or someone now, and actually I kind of feel like I started twice because I was in Chicago when I first started, was in the business for about a year and a half, and that's when we decided to move, and I came down to Florida, and I didn't know anybody. So yeah, I started all over. And back then, the other challenge as I look back now is, I'm going to show my age a little bit, but no cell phones, email didn't really exist. The marketing that's available today didn't really exist. So it was basically a landline or, I knocked on a lot of business doors and made tons and tons of cold calls. But it's not easy to start no matter where you are and how you do it. But I think if you have the right mindset and if you're consistent and you believe in what you're doing, I think that really, probably plays the biggest role in everything that, can make you more successful.
Oh, 100%. I think that applies. To all the lawyers listening, anyone else listening, anyone that's in a business at all, just working for someone or running your own, confidence in your own product, yourself, or your company that you work for is crucial. Because if you don't have confidence, then you're not going to want to sell it. You're not going to be excited about it. It's going to show through everything that you do if you're interacting with customers or whatever. Clients. So I think that's super important to be strong conviction and belief that what you do is good and it's helpful to people and it's going to make a difference.
Yeah, and
it's easy. It's easy from there.
Right. And truth be told, early on, I probably should have quit like 5 times. I just was struggling, which is common for a lot of new advisors, especially someone that's brand new in an area that doesn't know any I grinded it out. I found a mentor, and say to this day that he saved my career just by working with him, working closely with him, watching how he worked and what he did. He taught me a lot, gave me a lot of confidence, and literally saved my butt from, if I can say that, from quitting.
Oh, yeah. So, we've had cussing on here. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. But yeah, I owe a lot of gratitude to him. And even though he's no longer in the business, he's since retired. We still talk a lot. We still kick around ideas. And that's pretty cool for me. I'm really grateful that I ran into him.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple, you know, when you find a good mentor or someone that's willing to help you out, whether you're seeking it or not, you know, everyone should be trying to find a mentor or multiple mentors that they can reach out to and talk to. And such a huge thing to get, you know, and surround yourself with other people. Obviously, masterminds, you're in a mastermind group.
Yeah.
A lot of attorneys are usually in mastermind groups. Everyone's heard of most of them out there. But regardless of the group, you know, it's find one and try it out and get in one. And it's going to open your mind and to different experiences. You know, you can read books all day, but you're doing it alone, right? You're with your own thoughts. So it's great to get in a room with people or have a mentor that can set you straight, and super important. So Frank, so let's get into, you know, really some of the things that you see, some of the concerns or you see when working with attorneys one-on-one, and how we can help our audience today as they're listening avoid some of those things.
Yeah. So I think, Kevin, the first thing, and it's not a knock, it's not a real negative thing. I see it in a lot of attorneys and entrepreneurial type business owners, but I want to call it procrastination, but I think it's a result of time. And you're running your practice. You know, most of the attorneys that I deal with are either an owner of a practice, they might be a sole practitioner, they own a small practice, or they're a partner in a practice. And they all have the same issues. It's time. You know, you've got your cases that you're working, you've got your marketing that you want to try and do, you've got your people that you want to work with, you're hiring, maybe you're doing some training, you're co-working cases with other attorneys in your firm, you're going to events, you're having a breakfast, a coffee. The last thing that they want to do, or seemingly that they want to do, is to look at their financial picture. And for some people, I think it's the fear of being financially undressed in front of somebody. And look, I've seen a lot in my family, which kind of gives me the enthusiasm to make sure that what happened to them doesn't happen to the people that I'm working with. But you have to allot some time to do your planning. Doesn't matter, you know, when you do it, it just, you have to decide that, okay, this is the year that I'm going to get myself in order. Because what I find with a lot of people is that they buy different products from different people. And you may have three or four different advisors, and none of those advisors are talking to each other ever. So how do you know if your plan is congruent? How do you know if you have the right products? How do you know if what you've done is correct? And how do they work with each other? So I think one of the things that we pride ourselves on is getting you organized, finding out, you know, what you have, why you have it, what is it going to do for you in the future? Is it going to do for you what you think it's going to do for you in the future? But then kind of putting it all together. You know, my business partner calls it, you know, it's like she's a female, but it's like having a closet with a bunch of clothes and nothing matches. So how do you know what's what, right? I call it a financial junk drawer. Everybody's got a junk drawer in the kitchen. But in reality, a lot of people have a junk drawer with their finances. So we try to put that together. But it's the timing and it's the procrastination, because I think that most people think, oh, this is going to take a long time. And it won't. What takes long is you don't want to move forward and get it done.
That's a good point. I think one of the things you said there, I think is very true with anybody, is the fear of sharing and not looking financially well off. And I know directly for me, when I was in my 20s, like, I had a financial planner that always would try to meet with us, always try to do stuff. And it's like, I need to save more money. I need to have more money or income before I will meet with anybody, because I don't want to show them where I'm at and feel bad about where I'm at. And so I think that's a big challenge, you know, that financial planners will have too, as far as working with new clients, younger clients that need to do this stuff, that just don't feel comfortable sharing where they're at, you know?
Yeah. And it's a pride thing, and I get it. I understand it. But in all the years I've been doing this, there's probably not much I haven't seen. So I don't think anybody needs to worry. I'm definitely never going to criticize anybody like, oh, geez, Kevin, why did you do that? Kevin, that was a huge mistake. No, that's not how we operate. And I understand that could be one of the reasons why people don't want to get started with somebody just because of the fear of being judged. We don't judge. If I can improve your situation, great. If you're in a situation and I can't improve it and you're doing great, I'm going to tell you, Kevin, nothing here that I can do for you that's going to be any better. I'll be the first to tell you that. I don't want to disrupt any good work that you've already done. If I can fill a gap or fill a hole or give you a new idea that maybe you haven't heard, then, you know, that might be worth a conversation.
Hey there, this is Kevin Daisy, your host and founder of Array Digital. If you're tired of wasting money with agencies that just can't get it done, then please check out my law firm, digital marketing agency, at arraydigital.com. If you contact us there, you'll be sure to line up a meeting with me where we'll walk through your exact situation and come up with a plan for what you can do to improve your marketing results. I look forward to talking to you. Now back to the show.
Sure. And, you know, as an entrepreneur or an attorney run their own firm, or even just a partner at a firm, yeah, time is the biggest issue for everybody, I think. And everyone talks about time. We all have the same amount of time in a day, 24 hours in a day. How do you optimize that time and get control of that? I think it's very difficult to do, mm-hmm. especially as if you have a team and employees and all these things pulling at you, family. There's just so many different things that you have to prioritize. So it becomes really difficult, and some things get neglected. And the things that you might not be comfortable with or want to even talk about, which like financial might be easily one of those things. And so even though if you're a lawyer, you make a lot of money or make good money, you know, are you able to retire or walk away from the practice? Is the practice going to be built out and set up to be sold? Or is it just your name on the door and it's not, you know, nothing someone can buy, right?
Right.
But whether it may be, you need to be definitely preparing and putting away money and investments and doing the things so that you can hang it up at some point, right? So
yeah, and you know, we're, as a financial advisor, we have a lot of similarities with law firm owners, not from, you know, the performance of our occupation, so to speak, but from running a business, from, you know, running a practice, from doing all the different things that you have to do, all the different hats that you have to wear. For a while, I was also in management. So I would be responsible for hiring people, training them, making sure they get off to a good start, maybe going on joint appointments with them, making sure they're developing, steering them in the right direction for different, you know, ways to learn, as well as working with my clients. And good or bad, I just found out after about 5-ish years that, you know what, I don't want to do the management role anymore because I was running out of time. I always felt like I had something to do. And we've all heard of the Sunday scaries. I didn't really have the Sunday scaries because Monday was coming, but Sunday was not really a very enjoyable day because I was always preparing for that Monday morning meeting with my team, a mm-hmm. Monday meeting, you know, with management. And it just got to a point where I didn't want to do that anymore. So I pulled away from that. And the other thing that has helped me that can probably help, you know, any attorney that's listening is you have to calendarize certain things. If they're not on the calendar, you're not going to do it. And one of the things that I did about 5 years ago is I blocked out Monday, at least till 2 o'clock. And most of Friday is also blocked out. Now, if I want to schedule a meeting, I'm going to schedule a meeting, but I don't want it, someone to randomly go on my calendar link and schedule a meeting for Monday at 10 o'clock. My business partner and I were getting ready for the week. I'm getting ready for the week. Maybe I'm doing something specific that I want to do, but we all have the same amount of time. Like you said, it's just, how are we using it? But when you calendarize things, then it gets done. So how do you calendarize working on your financial plan? Get a glass of wine or a whatever favorite cocktail or club soda, sit with your spouse or significant other and say, okay, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we're going to spend an hour and we're going to chat and we're going to figure out what we need to do. I mean, that's just one example, right? But if you never do that, if you never do that, then 5 years is going to go by and you're going to be in the same spot that you were before and there's no improvement.
That's a good point. And this is an easy tip right there. I think this is what I haven't even done this yet. So I'm going to say something that I haven't done, but for someone listening, which I'm going to do, it's coming soon. And this is from a friend of mine who does some financial stuff for our our businesses here. But he does a getaway, a weekend getaway with his family, wife and kids, and they do a family planning retreat. They talk about goals for the family, trips they want to go on, things they want to purchase, things they want to do, you know, him and his wife, and then the whole family, basically. So, and they do like a whole strategy planning for the year, and they might do it twice a year. I think he might do it twice a year, so every 6 months.
Yeah.
And they go away somewhere, and they rent a place, and they sit and spend most of the day going over those things and planning those out. So they know what they want to do collectively versus just going through life as it happens, right? So, but an awesome little family retreat. You don't have to do that just with your business. Do it with your family.
You know, Kevin, that is so smart. And it might sound to people to be like, oh, geez, you know, that's not the weekend getaway that, you know, I want to do with my family. No, true. But listen, you can take a long weekend. You don't have to go too far. Make it a staycation, right? Go to a local nice hotel that's on the beach or somewhere that you've always wanted to go. But a lot of fresh ideas and a lot of good thoughts can come from places that are out of your normal environment. And once or twice a year to do something like that for a day and a half or so or a couple days, I think that makes perfect sense. And that just kind of gets everybody on the same page.
My kids are... Well, they 10 and 12. So do they really care to go do that? Probably not. But they want certain things, right? They always want this or that. And so if you say, hey, once every 6 months, we're going to do a little trip. Well, you know, you got to work some fun in there.
Oh, of course.
Know,
yeah.
Plan up until 3 o'clock and then we're going to go do a water park or whatever, you know, it could be.
Yep.
And that way they know that those trips are important because it's going to help them achieve or get whatever they're wanting to get, you know. Christmas, birthdays, you know, whatever the, how old your kids are, can still be worked into that process. And, you know, of course, with your significant other, it's more talking financial and you know, maybe you have like a separate conversation where the kids go do something on their own.
Yeah, right.
So,
and I think that gets a lot of things out in the open about ideas that maybe you weren't even thinking about or your different things that the kids want to do. You know, whether it's sports, whether it's something at school, and maybe as they get a little bit older, you know, into their early teens, maybe you start talking about what their ambitions are in life, what their goals are. You know, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go to school? So you kind of have some sort of formation of a plan. So you're not just winging it, because that's what a lot of people do, unfortunately, is they just wing it. But you're right. Make some time where the kids can go off and do their thing, and you guys talk about what's important to you. Put a little fun in there. So that it's an enjoyable trip. You can make it worthwhile and have it where I think the kids actually look forward to doing it.
Sure. And then when they're in their teen years and whatever, hopefully that will wire them to plan for themselves and take time to step back. I think that's one of the most challenging things to do is step back and look at things from a different perspective because we're just go, go, go all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I got here this morning to record with you and it's like, I just barely got here. My computer was doing a new like update and I was like just barely got on this, so it's just like bam, then you know the day hits so hard and next thing you know you're just in it, and that happens every day potentially, right? So
yeah
I'm looking forward to doing these trips, and again I'm saying that because I haven't done them, but I have a friend that has a whole like outline and like process for it. It's just like a mastermind group or a retreat for your business. Take it home. Or you know, if you're not part of a group and you want to do one of these for your stakeholders or your partners.
Yeah.
Same concept. So it's just you as the attorney, either you're a partner, you just work at a firm as an associate, or you're the owner, you know, your personal finances is kind of what we're talking about. And this is who Frank helps, right? He helps you personally and the individual attorneys, but yeah, take it home. You know, if my wife doesn't know what I'm interested in or any new income potentials that we might have or be losing or whatever, then, you know, we're just not on the same page.
Right.
You know, she's got a million things she wants to do to the house, and I have no clue how much some of those might cost, but I know she's always thinking of new things to do. It's like, okay, well, what can we do this next 6 months? Let's pick a project, let's budget for it, and let's do that. And
I think when you talk about it together, it's more of a project together, as opposed to your spouse says, hey, Frank, I want to paint and remodel the bathroom. You know, it's instead of just coming out and saying something like that, you're actually planning and talking about doing it, and you want to be involved. I mean, communication is so big, whether it's in a marriage or in a business, especially with business partners, communication is huge. And I see a lot of of that with business partners, where sometimes the communication isn't always there. Some partnerships have different opinions when it comes to doing the financial planning things that need to be done. You know, there's a lot of handshake deals out there, which that's not really a great way to run a practice. I've seen a lot of brothers or sisters or siblings that are business partners, even law firm partners, and it's all on a handshake. Well, to be honest, if something happens, you're now dealing with the spouse of that other person. You might be on good terms right now, but it's funny how things all of a sudden change when money enters the picture, or lack thereof. So you have to spend some time on the planning. But my point is that some partners don't see eye to eye. And if they don't talk about it, then they're setting themselves up for a problem somewhere down the road. And it's important to both sides to be, you know, open to ideas, open to different concepts, and open to, you know, what's right for a business as opposed to what's wrong.
Sure. 100%. It's important across the board. And you to have good communication at home and good family is well off in financial, then that's going to affect your business or your career. So, you know, I just think it's important to have all those things taken care of and be planning and strategizing and communicating. So, because if you have financial problems at home, then that's definitely going to carry over to your work and your business. So
easily, you know, you don't like,
and
you
vice
don't like
versa.
As much as they're not related, they are related. And when you don't want to talk about it at home, you find similar problems at work that you don't want to talk about there. And then all of a sudden, you're just keeping everything to yourself and then nothing gets done. So that's not good either.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Communication is important. I like to communicate with my clients often. I'd rather you tell me, no, I don't need to chat this go around. Let's wait till next time. But I would rather be the one that initiates the conversation. I'd rather be the one that brings the idea. I'd rather be the one that comes up with, you know, the different thoughts or things that you should be thinking about, as opposed to hearing it from my client or a potential prospect.
Gotcha. Excellent. Well, what are some of the other, direct ways, I guess, you've worked with your attorney clients and things that you've kind of helped them situation-wise with, you know, anything you're able to talk about, I guess? I know for us, like, just from a business standpoint, like, we have, you know, buy, sell, and insurance, and key man insurance. And there's all these other like products and things that, you know, are newer to me over the last few years, but are key. And, you know, and I'm just seeing what other things you see out there that attorneys have either failed to do or struggle with that you see that have been at it for a while, I guess.
Well, I think a few things really boils down to, you know, you mentioned key person, key employees, buy-sell agreements. Succession planning is very important. May not think so when you're first starting out, but that's probably the one time that you really need to talk about it and at least know what the ideas are. What are some of the things that you should be looking for? It's fine to have an agreement, but if there's nothing behind, there's no financial support behind the agreement, then the agreement is really just either a handshake or a piece of paper. I mean, we see people who have agreements all the time, but there's nothing backing it up. Managing cash flow is another thing, especially with, for example, personal injury attorneys. You know, you could be working on a case for a really long time, and you may not see the fruits of your labor 12 months, 18 months, depending on what kind of case it might be. So cash flow is very, very important, really, for any attorney across the board. And, you know, let's make sure that you're not spending your money on shiny objects. Right? Just because it's right for that firm doesn't necessarily mean it's right for your firm. So it's budgeting. And by budgeting, I don't mean that we're going to put handcuffs on you and not let you spend your money. That's not what we're what we're talking about. But it's more of the fact of use your money wisely. Pay yourself first. Always pay yourself first. I mean, that's like rule number one when I came into the industry. You've got to pay yourself first, because if you don't, nobody else will. And a lot of people say, well, you know, my business is my retirement. Yeah, I'm not so sure that's a great thought, number one. Number two, retirement is different for a lot of people now. It's no longer I'm going to retire at 67 and start collecting Social Security and whatever retirement income I've accumulated. Some people don't fully retire. Some people slow down. Yes, they might sell the practice, but they're still going to be involved on a consultative basis. Sure. Maybe they're just going to go independent. They're going to take case by case what they want, what they don't want. So retirement is different. Also, communicating with your other professionals. This is one thing that we're very big on, making sure that we communicate with your accountant so that
It's huge.
The check that you write to Uncle Sam is as small as can be within the guidelines. And sometimes it's not being aware of all the guidelines that are out there that are available to you. It's not just 401k. It's not just an IRA. It's not just a pension. I mean, there's other things that you should be aware of where you may have the ability to put more away than you think you can put away. So it's being proactive. I like to be proactive with your accountant or tax advisor so we can discuss ideas and make sure that together we're getting the, you know, the most out of the code as we can by doing the right things for you and minimizing your exposure. I think that's a big thing, and that's on everybody's mind right now, obviously, because, you know, we're recording this shortly after April 15th. Everybody's still kind of feeling the pinch of, you know, the check that they had to write. So that's a big one that you have to spend some time on that.
No, I think that's important. And that's something, honestly, that only within the last few years, we had our financial planner with meeting with our accountant, our CPA, and also our business attorney. So those, you know, three different people with three different goals, right?
Yep.
So yeah, you got the lawyer is trying to protect us, and they're looking at structural things from a protection standpoint and from a future standpoint of if we sold anything or, you know, whatever, because we have a couple different companies.
Right.
And then you got the accountants, CPAs, they're trying to do things by the book. That's pretty much it. And then you got this financial planner who's trying to look out for keeping money in our pocket and growing that money. So It's interesting how that plays out, but it took some effort though to get the three parties really to line up, which is interesting because you just said that, but it doesn't seem common that we've had that in the past where like, oh, we have to get together with those folks. And so now it makes sense to me, but I haven't really heard that as a common thing, which is weird.
Yeah. Probably because it was never brought to your attention or anyone's attention. And you know, an example could be is somebody buys their life insurance from Tom, they buy their disability from Jane, they do their retirement plan with Joe, they have Bob as the accountant, they have Stephanie as the business attorney. They're never going to, putting five people in the same room is almost impossible. So it's up to a good financial advisor who can do that. And sure. I think more and more people, when it comes to the financial side, are looking for one-stop shop. Not that I want to be a jack of all trades, master of none. That's why I have a business partner and we have other people on our team that we work with. So we can all share in the responsibilities. Some people have better likings to do certain things. Some people don't want to learn to do certain things. So they stick in their specialty, and that's what makes having a team beneficial. But to be able to come to, you know, one place, have the important people in the room and everybody has all the information, that just makes the planning so much easier.
Oh, sure. And I think, honestly, I mean, we switched CPAs because they weren't proactive.
Yeah.
They're great folks. I've been working with them for quite a while, but they just weren't proactive enough. And the thing is, the CPA, I don't think ever would have been like, hey, let's meet with your business attorney and your financial planner. Why would they want to do that? And so our financial planner is the one who pushed for all this and arranged it. And so, you know, and the lawyers too. I mean, they weren't thinking about that. And They're just doing their thing. They're staying in their lane.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the interesting and cool thing about a financial planner is they look at everything and they want to pull everything they can and get the whole story and get the whole strategy. So I think it's super important for anyone listening to have someone like Frank, if not Frank, to, because they're going to do that. They're going to go pull and find and organize all your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you said in the beginning, and that's super important to have that full picture. And again, your CPAs, they're just doing things by the book. They're probably not trying to save you as much money as they can. So, which I know they aren't, because ours wasn't.
And, you know, a lot of them are just looking at today, right? They're not forward thinking. So you have to find a CPA that is forward thinking. And, you know, we work with, you know, a handful of those. And when we have common clients, we're constantly talking.
Super important.
In March, as they're preparing for the return, I'm preparing for, you know, some things that need to be done. I mean, it's important to be in communication so that you can communicate that to the client. And sometimes it'll be, do you want to tell them or do you want me to tell me? You know, we share, when you have a good rapport with the CPA or accountant, then you can kind of share in some of the responsibilities. Sometimes they're even involved on the meetings. They're involved in, you know, either making a recommendation that we've talked about or supporting a recommendation that we've talked about. And when you find that right partner, because that's what it is, it's a partner, I think that's where, you know, you're creating the magic for your plan.
Yeah, I think that's so important. So anyway, that's a good tip for everyone. If you don't have, you know, everyone talking to each other or a financial planner that's helping orchestrate that, that's something you need to do for sure and look into it. If you don't have a financial planner at all, then obviously that's step one, but someone that's going to be able to orchestrate that and a forward thinking CPA or accountant, I think is challenging to find. You know, it's, I think what CPA stands for, a certified public accountant. They're there in the public's interest, not yours necessarily. So.
If you want to dissect, right?
Yeah. So anyway, a great, great tips from you, Frank. I appreciate you kind of coming on here to share what you see out there and problems we see out there. And then for me, I talk to a lot of, you know, smaller startup attorneys that need some marketing or they're trying to talk to us about it. And, you know, I at least ask their revenues. I don't know where their financial status is from a firm, which leads me to kind of have at least an idea of where they might be personally. But, you know, there's a lot of attorneys I talk to that are not making very much from a income perspective and have a lot of challenges getting started.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely something to keep in mind. And so anyone that's listening that you're just starting, start planning, get a financial planner. Don't worry about if they think you're got enough money or not, or you've done good or bad or not. You got student loan debt. You're a lawyer. Obviously, you're going to come out the gate with some expenses. So get started sooner than later.
It's
only going to help you out. So just got to get past the fear if you have any and just, you know, hire someone like Frank. So Frank, anything else you want to share before we go?
No, I mean, I think you kind of close it out really well. Just get started, right? Allocate the time, put it on your calendar. I like the financial retreat with the family idea. That was pretty neat. And just make a commitment that this is the year that you're going to get yourself organized. Just get started. It's not as big of a dilemma or as big of a task as you think it is. And once you get started, it just becomes easier. So just make this the year you do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that. And it's like, you know, going to the gym, the hardest part is getting there.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Once you're there, you're like, okay, I gotta start lifting stuff or whatever I'm going to do. But
it's not
getting
so bad.
Out of bed and doing it, that's the hard part. So yeah, take the time, put it on your calendar. I'm just like that, Frank. Like, if it's on my calendar, I tell my wife this all the time. If it's not on my calendar, it doesn't exist, and I'll never know about it. I'll forget about it. So let's put it on the calendar, even if it's rough.
Yeah.
Just planning day or whatever, and then that comes up like, oh yes, I haven't even rescheduled that yet. So, you know, it's a reminder for yourself. But I'm going to be doing the family retreat, and I will report back to everyone, and then share kind of anything I can in regards to that, you know, structure.
Awesome,
you
know, idea. I'd like to see how that panned out for you.
We'll see how it goes. I'll be, hey, guess what, kids? We're going on vacation.
Yeah. Dad, you
there's a twist. There's a twist. Well, everyone, Frank's, you can look Frank up on LinkedIn is the best way to connect with him. That's where we met and started chatting. And again, he's connected with one of my clients, and she's a fractional CFO for law firms, Leah Miller. And so that's kind of how we got connected. But you can just look up Frank by his name on LinkedIn, Frank Rekas, correct? That's how you say it?
Yep.
So it's just Rekas is his last name. So Frank Rekas, if you're on audio and you want to look Frank up. But yeah, connect with him. He's full of knowledge. He's helped lots of attorneys, and that's his specialty. So Frank, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing what you know.
Thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate being on. This was fun, and we'd love to do it again at some point, and curious to hear how your retreat ends up.
I will. I'll have to do an episode just on that. So
there you go.
All right. Well, Frank, you can stand on with me for a few seconds. We'll chat backstage. Yep. Everyone else, have a great day. Make this the year that you do something about your finances if that's something you need to work on. So good tip from Frank. We'll see y'all later. Bye.
Thank you for listening. We have been producing this podcast for years, have had hundreds of guests, and produced hundreds of episodes. We don't ask for much, but I do have one ask. If you find value in this podcast, please share it with one person just like you. The best way to do that is to send them to arraydigital.com, where we have a full library of all the episodes that they can sort by practice area and or state. So again, we appreciate you listening and thanks for sharing.